Iowa GOP debate.
Now that we've gotten the Donald Trump portion out of the way.
Front runner stays away.
I didn't want to be here, I have to be honest.
Teacher charged in California breakout.
She provided Google Maps to prepare for the escape.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Iowa Republicans needed to keep the TV remote close last night for a political extravaganza just days from the first in the nation presidential caucuses. A debate on Fox News and GOP frontrunner Donald Trump, who snubbed it, showing up on other channels at his own event. Here's CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
He was called by one of the moderators the elephant not in the room. Donald Trump told a crowd across town,
"When you're treated badly, you have to stick up for your rights."
In his absence, the frontrunner was conjured by his leading rival, Ted Cruz.
"I'm a maniac, and everyone on this stage is stupid, fat, and ugly."
Cruz jokingly called it the Trump portion of the debate. Early in the Fox News forum, Cruz echoed Trump, taking issue with moderator Chris Wallace's questions.
"You don't get 30 seconds to respond to me.
Your question was you have disagreed.
You don't get 30 seconds to respond to me."
He did respond, seemingly in jest.
"If you guys ask one more main question, I may have to leave the stage."
With the frontrunner across town, Cruz took most of the incoming fire here.
"The truth is, Ted, throughout this campaign, you've been willing to say or do anything in order to get votes."
Marco Rubio and Rand Paul painted Cruz as too pious on issues like immigration.
"He's the most conservative guy, and everyone else is a rhino.
Everybody's for amnesty except for Ted Cruz."
Cruz said voters should look at his record. He argues he's the consistent conservative in the race. While the forum did feature tense exchanges, it was notably lacking in the kind of tussles that have been hallmarks of debates with Trump at center stage.
Trump's event was at Drake University, where along with his political digs, he said money was raised for vets.
"We just cracked $6 million, right? $6
million. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are in a tight Democratic battle for Iowa. CBS's Nancy Cordes has more on the final push.
"My goal as your president is to raise your incomes. I will not raise middle-class taxes."
Clinton argued she's the Democrat with her feet on the ground.
"I put out my agenda. It wasn't, just pie in the sky."
She was echoing a Washington Post editorial that slammed the lofty goals of Bernie Sanders as fiction.
"No, I don't believe that."
"You think you can convince Republicans to raise taxes?"
"I think we can convince the American people to get involved in the political process."
There's a lot of selective moral outrage right now from both sides, accusing the other of playing dirty. But the truth is their attacks seem almost affectionate compared to what we hear from some of the GOP candidates about each other.
Well, now to Southern California, where a 44-year-old woman who taught English at the jail where three inmates escaped last weekend is now under arrest. Sheriff's Lieutenant Jeff Halleck says she was involved with one of the men.
"There was some type of relationship that developed between the two as a result of initially, which was a student-teacher relationship, and it developed into a closer relationship where she then began providing him information."
He says it's believed she provided Google Map info for the escapees who are still on the loose. It's not clear how they got the tools they used to break out. New video has emerged in the confrontation that left a man dead this week in the standoff at an Oregon wildlife refuge.
The FBI released the video in large part to dispel rumors that Lavoy Finicum was shot with his arms in the air. The video clearly shows Finicum did initially raise his arms after leaving his vehicle, but then
Finicum reaches his right hand toward a pocket.
That's the FBI's Greg Bretzing.
He did have a loaded 9mm semi-automatic handgun in that pocket.
Even after the video was released, supporters of the occupiers on social media sites had a much different view.
"I would call this nothing short of murder by a police officer."
At the wildlife refuge itself, only four occupiers remain. They want assurances that none of them will be arrested. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Burns, Oregon.
Three newly reported illnesses now make a total of 15 people sickened from a listeria outbreak linked to packaged salads from a Dole processing facility. There's been one death in Michigan. Federal officials, meantime, say people who visited countries with widespread Zika virus infections will not be allowed to donate blood in the U.S. A liberal activist group in Michigan claims Republican Governor Rick Snyder's administration trucked in bottled water for government workers. While residents in Flint expressing concerns about lead were told their water was safe.
"It's hard to call anything a smoking gun when everything is smoking."
Lonnie Scott, who heads up Progress Michigan, says emails will be the administration's undoing in the Flint crisis.
"We believe that this email shows that they knew what was going on. So I believe that it blows a hole in the timeline that the governor has laid out.
The White House wants to collect equal pay information from the biggest employers. CBS's Barry Bagnano joins us live from Washington.
7 years to the day that President Obama signed his first piece of legislation, a bill designed to close the gender pay gap, he's proposing an annual government collection of wage data by gender, race, and ethnicity from businesses with 100 or more employees. The idea? To spotlight discriminatory practices and provide workers with information to fight them. A White House report out today finds the U.S. gender wage gap is 2.5 percentage points larger than in other industrialized nations. Steve?
Paul Kantner, the guitarist and singer-songwriter who helped bring a psychedelic sound to the turbulent 1960s as a founding member of Jefferson Airplane, has died at 74.
Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love?
Kantner retooled the airplane in the 1970s when it went into orbit as Jefferson Starship. And he was there for the reconstruction of Starship in the 1980s. A publicist says Kantner died of organ failure and septic shock. Nick Casa, tight end and out of football since the spring, was at last weekend's AFC title game in Denver when he got a call. He dropped his phone and cracked the screen. He didn't find out till it was fixed later that it was the Broncos calling, looking to sign him to their practice squad. He's been working out with the team all this week, posing as Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olsen. It looks like Florida voters will get a second chance to weigh in on medical marijuana. CBS's Peter King has more.
Attorney John Morgan says he has enough signatures to put a medical marijuana state constitutional amendment on the ballot in November. He thinks he's figured out what went wrong 2 years ago.
We feel like the wind is at our sails.
Morgan says low voter turnout hurt the last time.
We went in an off-year election. This year is going to be a presidential year.
Morgan says he's got the state Supreme Court behind him, and he's reworked wording that law enforcement officials found objectionable. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Back in 1955, Donald Hallman was kicked out of the Army for being gay. Now the Columbus, Ohio man is 82 years old and getting an honorable discharge. He applied for the change in status after the Don't Ask, Don't Tell rule was repealed 6 years ago. And that's the World News Roundup, produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.